Well, again tonight, we're glad to see all who are with us for the gospel, and we trust that the Lord will bless you for being here this evening. Now, I want to read, first of all, in the Old Testament from the book of Isaiah and chapter 53. The book of Isaiah and chapter 53, and reading at verse 6. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. This time to the New Testament and to John's Gospel and chapter 10. John's Gospel and chapter 10. And looking down the chapter to verse number 27. John 10. And verse 27, the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Now that's all we want to read tonight with the Lord's blessing. We have read again this evening from the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we have read about sheep, as you may have noticed, in both of these wonderful passages of Scripture. We've read about sheep in Isaiah 53, where the prophet says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." And then we've read about sheep in John chapter 10, where the Lord Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I want you to think about sheep. You know, there's a great contrast between these sheep in these two different passages. And it's interesting how that sheep are used in illustration. You know, the Bible is a book where there are many pictures and there are many illustrations. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great preacher, said that an illustration was like a window. It let the light in. But he went on to say that if you've got too many windows, you finish up with a glass house. Well, we hope we don't do that tonight. But a window, an illustration that lets the light in. You see, in Isaiah 53, we have sheep that are lost, that are straying, with no shepherd, and going to perish. But when you come to John chapter 10, it's a totally different picture altogether. Because there you have sheep and they're found and they're following and they have a shepherd and they'll never perish. Now, of course, tonight, when you put those two side by side, the fact is this, that every one of us in this building this evening, that we fit into one of those two groups. To one of those two groups, You belong tonight. And you know in your heart, and I trust you'll discover if you don't, to which of those two groups you really belong. I wonder tonight, is there those with us and you're lost, straying, with no shepherd, and going to perish? That's a fateful place to be in. But you see, tonight the great message of the gospel is that you don't have to die like that. And you don't have to live like that. And you don't have to go on like that. Because in John chapter 10, we discover that here are sheep that are found, that are following, that have a shepherd, and they'll never perish. And you know, tonight you can join that group this very evening. You can become part of that company that have a shepherd in the Lord Jesus Christ and will never perish. You know, it's a great word, that never, isn't it? Sometimes we use it. We all are guilty of using it. And yet, you know, when a person sometimes says never, they might say, I'll never do that, and I'll never say that, and I'd never go there, and I'd never think that. And the amazing thing is, you know, that if you give them enough time, you discover that they just might. Because it's really only God who can say never. It's really only a divine person who can really say never. And the Lord Jesus said, he said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. The young man who came out of college, and he was all newfangled, and he was all enthused. And he visited a dear old Christian lady, and she hadn't just got the same education or knowledge that he had had, and he thought he would enlighten her, tell a few things, and he thought he maybe would sort of help her as well. And he read these words in John chapter 10, that I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. And then he went into great detail to say to this old Christian lady, you know, there are three nevers there. It really means never, never, never. And she said, just one will do me. For when God says never, he means never. You know, John's gospel, there's a few nevers, isn't there? In John chapter 4, he spoke to the woman at the well, and he said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He said to the woman at the well, you'll never thirst. In John chapter 11, the Lord Jesus could say, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Never thirst. Never die. Never perish. I wonder this evening, could those words be written across your brow? Could it be said of you tonight in this meeting that you'll never perish? I can tell you this, if you belong to the shepherd, if you have come to know that great shepherd of the sheep, the one who rose from the dead and who lives forever, there is one thing absolutely sure tonight, that you'll never perish. But I want you to think of these words for a few minutes. When Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. I want you to think about the lost sheep. And then I want you to think about the load of sin. The Lord Jehovah hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then I want you to think about the lonely sufferer. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. The lost sheep. The load of sin. The lonely sufferer. You know, this evening, the Bible brings before us the gospel, and it's a very simple message. If it's complicated, it's men that complicate it. It's not God. And the message of salvation and the message of the gospel is right down simple tonight, that you and I can understand that the Bible makes it very clear that before God, we are as lost sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. Lost through Adam, our spokesman. I want you to think about that for a minute. You know, our Bible opens with a beautiful garden where God put the man, and then he formed the woman, Eve. And in that place of tranquility and beauty and wonder, Eden's garden, that place of delight. And sin entered. And we talk about the fall. Now, I've just realized that I'm in Canada, and you talk about the fall here, when the leaves come off the trees, is that right? Or when they change. But I'm talking about a different fall. The fall of man. The fall of man in Adam. You see, the Bible says that in Adam all die. Romans chapter 5 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now listen tonight, it's simple as this. Adam was the first man. Do you believe that? Adam was the first man. The Bible says the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. So Adam was the first man. He was the head of the creation. And when Adam sinned, that sin of disobedience, for the Bible says, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. So the one man, the first man, Adam, sinned. And he fell. You say, what did he fall from? Well, he fell from union and communion with God. And there was a thing came right in between him and God, and it's a thing called sin. And sin came in between because of that one sin of disobedience. Adam fell from that place of prestige and that place of prominence and that place of privilege, and he fell. And you know something? We all fell with him. You know, the truth is this tonight, that when he went down, we all went down. Because in potential, the whole human race was in the loins of Adam. And so when he missed it, we all missed it. When he lost it, we all lost it. And so man fell. He fell into sin. And he lost union and communion with God. And sin came in between. And man who walked with God in the garden when the Lord came into Eden's garden in the cool of the day. And my, what does the Bible say? That Adam and his wife, they hid themselves beneath the trees of the garden, and Adam said, I heard thy voice and I was afraid. That's the first time you got fear. Why was he afraid? Because he had sinned and he had lost favor with God. He had fallen. And we all fell with him. And tonight, you know, if you don't believe that, then the rest of what I'm going to say will not make sense. If you don't realize the fundamental fact that before God we stand as fallen creatures, as fallen sinners, and if that be not so, then there is no need for a Savior or a sacrifice or a substitute or a salvation. You know, there's some people would tell you, well, man's not too bad, is he? And some people would tell you, well, you know, that by and by there'll be improvement. Listen, the heart of man is just the same as it ever was. And the same old sin just churns out and goes on and flows over wherever you are. Lost through Adam, our spokesman. But you come to Psalm 51, and David says this. David says, behold, he says, I was born in sin, he says, and shapen in iniquity. Not only lost through Adam, our spokesman, but lost in sin, our state. You know, I know there's people today, and sometimes in Britain, you know, if you were to tell a person that we're all sinners and they're a sinner, they would nearly have the human rights onto you. You offended me. You insulted me. Listen tonight. It's not me. It's God who tells us. And David, that great king of Israel that he was, he says, behold, he says, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He says, I was born in sin. Now listen tonight. You don't become a sinner when you sin, but you sin because you are a sinner. You know, I was a sinner before I ever sinned. Why is that? I was born one. I was born a sinner. And so were you. So nobody can lift their head up and say, I'm better than him and I'm better than her. No, no. Listen. You see, in this old sinful nature that I was born with, we talk sometimes about the total depravity of man. What does it really mean? In simple terms, in the heart of every man, there is the seed of every sin. And you've got that same nature that I was born with, and this whole human race has got that very same condition, and it doesn't matter whether they're high society or low society. It doesn't matter whether they're rich or poor. I'll tell you this, the Bible just sweeps everything away. And it puts every man on the same platform. Now, we're all different. Of course we are. God's a God of variety. But I'll tell you this, when it comes to the condition of you and I before God, we're all the same. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Lost through Adam, our spokesman. Psalm 51, lost in sin, our state. Ephesians chapter 2, lost to God, our situation. Paul writes to these people and he says at that time, he says, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. He says, having no hope and without God in the world. I'll tell you, if a person is without Christ and they have no hope and they're without God in the world, they're well and truly lost. But you say people don't think like that anymore. Oh, I know that. People walk the streets day after day and they don't realize, you see, there are so many people today who are lost and they don't know it. It's like the two brothers, you know, that were in a big store and it was busy. And there was people everywhere. And the two boys somehow in the crowd, they lost their mum. And one of the boys, he started to cry. And he was looking all around and looking for his mum. And he was standing there crying. And there was a man came over to him and said, son, why are you crying? He says, I'm lost. And then the man said to him, but your brother's not crying. No, he says, he doesn't know he's lost. That's it. He doesn't know he's lost. Is there someone here tonight? And I'll tell you, you know, this would be a great night if you really discovered that before God you are a lost sinner. And that you need to be saved and delivered from hell itself. Lost through Adam, our spokesman. Lost in sin, our state. Lost to God, our situation. But before I leave this tonight, you know, there's a very solemn side to this. It's possible to be lost forever. That's so solemn. To be lost forever. To be outside of heaven. To be away from God. To be in the darkness of an eternity where there's no hope. Lost. Oh, tonight I want to tell you, if you're in this meeting tonight and as yet you're not saved, you're lost tonight. But I can tell you this, you can be saved tonight. You don't have to lose your soul, you know. And the Bible says, God our Savior, who will of all men to be saved. There's a God in heaven tonight who desires that you would be with him. I want to come very quickly, because if we had to finish there, it wouldn't be the greatest meeting, would it? The lost sheep, the load of sin. You know, it's the only verse in the Bible that starts with all and finishes with all. The first all tells us about our ruin. The last all tells us about the remedy. It's a great verse, you know. No wonder they call Isaiah the gospel of the Old Testament. Listen to this tonight. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But listen, but the Lord, that's Jehovah, hath laid on him, the Lamb, the iniquity of us all. And so if you look at it, you've got the lost, and then you've got the Lord, and then you've got the Lamb, and then you've got the load. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, the Bible says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. I think it's one of the most amazing things, you know, that we have a Lamb. A Lamb. Animals, different animals in the world have been used to carry loads and to bear burdens. You think of a horse, you think of a mule, you think of a donkey, you think of a camel, you think of an elephant, you think of all different types of animals that can bear burdens, that can bear a load. But I'll tell you this, when you think of an animal bearing a load, you never think about a lamb, do you? No, you don't. Because a lamb, that little white furry animal, so nimble, it doesn't bear a load. No, no. But listen tonight. The greatest load that ever was born by a lamb. The greatest load that ever was known was born by God's Lamb. That John the Baptist said, behold, he says, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Is that not something tonight? A lamb to bear a load, the load of sin. You know, when we come to the cross, and when we look yonder on that hill, and think of the Lord Jesus there nailed to that cross, the marvel is that he was the Lord of glory. The Bible says they crucified the Lord of glory. But he was not just the Lord of glory. He was the Lamb of God. And as the Lamb of God, upon that cross, he became the bearer of sin. Can you see that? And the judgment that was due to your sin and my sin, he bore on the cross. The Lord, Jehovah, God, laid on him, on the Lamb, on his Son, the iniquity of us all. What a load. That's why you can be saved tonight. That's why your sins can all be forgiven and gone forever. Because on the cross, the Lord Jesus answered for sin, atoned for sin. He put away sin, and God wants you to believe it tonight. The lost sheep, the load of sin. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Harry Ironside was a great preacher in America of a bygone day. Maybe many of you have got some of his books. But Harry Ironside, you know, was saved through the preaching of the Salvation Army in the open air in the streets of Los Angeles. He was just 14 years of age. And not long after he was saved, the old Salvation Army captain asked him if he would speak a few minutes in the open air. This is a way over 100 years ago, of course. And in those days, the Salvation Army really preached the gospel. And Harry Ironside, just a boy of 14, he stepped forward to speak, you know. And he read this verse from Isaiah 53 in verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray, and so on. And he began to speak, just a boy. And you know, well, of course, those days it was the old pocket watch. And 5 minutes went, of course, and 10 minutes went, and the old Salvation Army captain man, he was taking out, you know, the pocket watch, and he was having a look at it, and 15 minutes, and he was still preaching. Until the old Salvation Army captain man, he was getting a bit exasperated, and 20 minutes went by, and he finally tapped him on the shoulder and he said, "You need to finish that some other time. We should have been in the hall 10 minutes ago." Do you know what Harry Ironside said? 60 years later, do you know what he said? "I've been trying to finish it ever since." That's it. For we have read a verse tonight that no preacher could ever exhaust, because it tells us about a lamb who exhausted all the judgment of God. And on a dark and lonely hill at Golgotha, when every wave and billow passed over him, he cried, "It is finished." Thank God tonight, it is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There'll be no more war. It is finished. The end of the conflict. It is finished. And Jesus is Lord. It's finished tonight. It stands finished. It's still finished. It stays finished. It'll never be anything else but finished. Finished for you and finished for me. Listen, there's enough in the cross of Christ to save every soul outside of hell tonight. There's enough for you. Is there a boy or girl, a man or woman here tonight, just to discover, "I'm a lost sheep, I'm a lost soul, I'm a lost sinner, but he bore the judgment for me in the cross, and I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to just rely on what he has done for me. For it's not what you do or I do that will bring you to heaven. It's what Christ has done for you." The lost sheep, the load of sin, the lonely sufferer. Could I bring you to that scene again this evening? He was oppressed. I sometimes think of that as Gethsemane. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. I sometimes think of that as Gabbatha. The scourging, the thorns, the spittle. Oh, come on tonight a bit further. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. That's Golgotha, the place where Jesus bled and died, where your debt was paid by his precious blood that flowed from his wounded side. As I finish, are you still amongst that group of sheep lost, straying, with no shepherd, going to perish? Are you going to change places tonight? Are you going to change direction? Are you going to change destiny? And join that company who are found, who are following, who have a shepherd, and best of all, they'll never perish. The amazing thing it is tonight that it's all free. But I didn't say it was cheap. It's free to you and me. But it cost him everything upon the cross. Oh, tonight, will you bypass the cross again? The old hymn says, how can you refuse him now? How can you turn away from his side? With thorns on his brow, on the cross Jesus died. How can you refuse Jesus now? Let me say this tonight, and I'm finished. If you lose your soul, it's not God's fault. For God has done everything in his Son to save you. And to bring you to heaven and glory forever. Don't perish. Sinner, do not perish. Christ was crucified. Shall we pray? Lord, we give thee thanks for these great words of Scripture. And we believe that thy word will not return void.